This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Hello, and thanks for listening to Marriage Therapy Radio. I'm Zach. I'm here with Laura. Today on the podcast, we are making history. I always think it's funny when people say they're making history. Usually that's reserved for a special event, but I think you're always making history, no matter what you're doing. But indeed, today's podcast is a special event. We have our first ever guest on the podcast, and we are talking about how to have joy in your marriage. Stick around.
So this is kind of a fun experience because we're here with our very first interview. We teased this months ago that we might start bringing on some guest speakers. And Chris is our very first guest. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm very honored and excited to be your first guest.
Chris, what you have to endure at the beginning is that we just basically kind of shoot the shit for a minute and figure out like what's going on. So
I like it. I could work with that.
So what's going on? What's new for you right now?
Yeah, what are you passionate about? What's exciting, Chris?
Well, you know what? Honestly, it's talking about joy, and I'm very excited. I've got young sons. My wife and I are just in a very fun stage of life where, you know, joy is really kind of a big topic in our lives. And mm-hmm. So, you know, that's kind of in the forefront of our minds right now.
Yeah. So I'm really curious, before we start talking about the book, how do you create joy in your household if it's in a funk? Because Zach and I have talked about this before. I know Zach's technique, but how about for you?
You know, one of the best things, you know, you attune when people are in a funk, you attune, you validate, like, wow, that sounds really hard. Okay. But ultimately, a common thing that we do in our household is appreciation. So basically thinking about what are some things you're thankful for? What are, you know, after validation, of course, you know, so people feel understood and seen.
Yeah.
We do a daily appreciation around the meals, you know, the end of the day, like, hey, what was good from your day? Like, so we call it happy and sad. So three things from your day that made you happy and one thing that made you sad. And and sometimes my sons have I'm sorry.
No, we totally do the same thing. We have highs and lows. So when we go around, we interview each other and I don't know if that necessarily brings joy to our lives, though. I don't know. Sometimes I like to vent a little bit.
Yeah. Well, our sons, sometimes they have a lot of sad. So for every sad, you got to do three happy. And that amplifies the joy.
It balances it out a little bit. I love that.
Yeah. So, Zach, what do you guys do in your house when you are in a funk? He lives in a household with two teenage daughters and a wife. So he's really just one special character.
Yeah, no. I basically, if my house is in a funk, I go into my room and close my door and pull a blanket over my head and wait till it stops.
Ignore life.
No, we sing songs. We just turn on music. I mean, I have a tendency to just want to sing about whatever's going on. Not if only to say what you're doing is ridiculous and this is not okay right now, you know? So
Oh man, my favorite soundtrack to turn on when our house is in a funk is the Trolls soundtrack. So if you haven't heard it, it's amazing. And it has a lot of Justin Timberlake in it. And it's just, it has like some Beatles. It's a great soundtrack. And that brings joy to our life. So, okay. So here's what we're talking about. We're talking about joy.
No, wait. We're also talking about one thing. Cause I've been setting this up for a week. You ran your half marathon, didn't you?
I did.
How did it go?
So it actually brought me a lot of joy.
Good.
It went very well. So I chose wisely. I don't know, Chris, if you're a runner.
I'd love to run, but I've never run that far, I don't think.
You know what? I hit like mile 10 and I was dragging so hard. Mm. And I said, hey, and I like gave my partner a high five. I said, this is the furthest we've ever run together. Is it furthest or farthest?
Both.
Zach, you know this one. It's both? Okay. It's both. English and I are not on par. We don't do well together. But it went well. I ran it in 2:05. So I was 5 minutes behind my time. And now I'm addicted because I have like four more runs that are lined up. And they're expensive. So now apparently I have an expensive hobby because it costs money.
So listen, I know how you can get a better time.
You just run faster?
Run faster.
Hey, remember that triathlon you were going to run, Zach? How'd that go?
I finished it in record time.
Yeah, how fast was that?
Door to door, it took me no time at all.
He did not run or bike or swim.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, what are we doing?
Let's introduce...
Okay, wait, one more thing. Sorry. So you're in Salt Lake, I'm in Seattle. Chris, people are going to wonder where you're from because your accent is clearly not...
He doesn't have an accent.
Yes, he does.
I hear that a lot, actually. People think I'm from the South. I'm actually from Illinois, but I live in Holland, Michigan.
Yeah. No, you definitely
you do
like
not have an accent.
Holland, Michigan.
Maybe it's because I'm from North Dakota and we're just one and the same, but there's no accent. You are full of it, Zach.
All right.
Okay. Well, so this
I won't
is
interrupt anymore.
Thank you.
I promise.
Chris Corsi?
I'm going to stop interrupting right now.
Yep.
Stop it. Okay, we're bringing Chris Corsi on. He's going to be sharing with us the four habits of a joy-filled marriage. And I love talking about habits. We've talked about this on the podcast. I'm actually quite addicted to studying habits and the brain and why habits are helpful. But what I really love is that you're talking about a joy-filled marriage. And that's the piece I kind of want to dissect a little bit. So can you talk to me about joy and why it's important and how it goes missing in marriages?
Yeah. So joy means we're glad to be together. And so joy is much different than happy, right? I'm happy because of my favorite movie's coming out, you know, very soon. But joy is actually a relational concept. So as far as your brain's concerned, you know, joy means that I'm the sparkle in your eyes. Like you're the sparkle
Aww.
In my eyes. Right.
Aww.
So joy means like my face lights up when you walk into the room. And so your brain is really, really, really excited about joy. Like joy is the fuel for your brain. And there's actually the right frontal lobe in your brain actually grows in response to joy. And so every time, you know, it's like the vitamins for your brain, almost like, you know, oxygen for your body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what joy is for our brain, but also for our relationships. And so, mm-hmm. We're very excited about joy just because, you know, when it's good, you know, and you have this glad to be togetherness happening, you know, all these feel good hormones and chemicals are released and you just want more. And joy always leads to rest. So you build some joy, you catch your breath, and then you build more joy.
Okay.
But you know what?
You make it sound like it's a muscle that we can build.
Yeah, it really is. As far as your brain's concerned, it really is like going to the gym.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Mm. So I love that you talk about joy in this way, because I think in relationships, we are just oftentimes in survival mode. All of us are right in the midst of raising these kids to become outstanding human beings. And oftentimes our marriages are put on the back burner and it's just about surviving. But I love that you're setting the bar about, it's not about just, you know, greeting your partner when they walk in the door, but it's having them light your light up, and just like have that crystal sparkly look in your eye. You said that, and that just sort of made me really feel warm and fuzzy inside, mm-hmm. thinking about me lighting somebody up.
Yep, that's right. And you know what? You feel it like when you walk into that room and you see your spouse, your children light up to see you because it's you.
Yeah.
You feel that, like, you know, and you enjoy it and it's life-giving.
Yeah. I have, I think I've told this story before. Have I told, and maybe when we teach Zach our workshops, but about my best friend and her husband. Whenever he comes home at the end of the day, she sings a song and does a dance for him.
Oh,
and now that they have
the
two Rugrats, the daddy dance, daddy's home. They have two children. They all do the dance together. And when I'm there, I join in the dance because I know the dance.
But
how is that for lighting somebody up? That's pretty cool.
Well, you know, yeah. What's interesting, Laura, is, and of course, this is the way our brands work. You heard him say that and you were like, oh, it makes me feel so good that I would be the light in someone's eye.
Absolutely. And, rather than having
well,
my
I'm more
eyes
like,
lighted.
I wonder how I cultivate that muscle because it's not my bias to be a joyful person. Like I'm mm-hmm. tend to be more of a more subdued. And so to think that it's possible to build that muscle is an intriguing thought. And I wonder, of course, probably you have ideas about how to do that. But for a guy like me, who's, you know, really pretty flat affect, you know,
he's just the grumpy old man in the corner. Can
how would
you help
train
Zach?
Me? Well, that's why Rebecca loves me.
So what I would do is, you know, your brain actually has a relational circuit. And when you think about joy, you think about the good stuff, we call it appreciation or gratitude. That actually wakes up the relational part of your brain. And when that part of your brain is awake, you're actually going to be more in your skin. You're going to be more in the moment. Mm-hmm. You're kind of anchored. And so what I often have people do is just like take 2-3 minutes, you know, think about some joy, think about those faces or those moments. This wakes up the relational brain. And then, you know what, before you walk into the room to see your spouse or to see your children, you know, try to use your face, your voice tone, your body language, just genuinely convey what you feel. And you'll see it. Joy is contagious. And so you'll see it on their faces. You'll hear it in their voices. And joy grows, you know, and it grows until we all need to just catch our breath, take a moment of quiet, and then we get back to the fun of joy.
Yeah, I do believe that because it, indeed the sound of Rebecca's voice first thing in the morning sets the tone for my day. And if it's positive, then I'm like, all right, I'm good. I'm in the clear. And if it's negative, I'm like, uh-oh, something bad's going to happen real soon.
Oh, yeah. So. Your brain gives precedent to voice tone, facial expressions. I mean, you bet. This the tone of a voice can make or break a moment, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me, you have laid out, and Zach is going to love this. He hasn't read the book, but I have because I'm the student that is well prepared.
Yes.
But you have laid out using PLAN as an acronym. Can you talk about how people just describing each of the letters in PLAN as far as habit building for everyone?
Gladly. So yeah, PLAN is a word we came up with to really, you know, capture these four habits. And PLAN stands for play together, listen for emotions, appreciate daily, and nurture a rhythm. And basically, you know what, play together is just an opportunity. It's really, one, it's a reflection of the joy in our marriage. But two, you know what, there's all this great research coming out about the importance of play and how play is, your brain's wired for play, right? And so when you play with your spouse, not only does it wake up the relational centers in your brain, it builds the bond. And you know what, there's lots of different ways couples can play. Some of them have, you know, it could be special events, social routines, relational sex.
Yeah.
You know, all of those ways we try to, you know, help couples find very practical things they can do to play together.
Okay. I was wondering, I was reading this at night and I kept stumbling over the fact that you were using relational sex over and over. And it just dawned on me why you use that, because sex can be referred to as a solo act, but you're talking about it as being an act that you're doing with your partner, relational sex.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all about us. It's not about me. It's about us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Then John, well, I mean, and sex can be a solo act. It can also be.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic, and finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone.
As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
An impersonal act with another person, right? I mean,
yes.
It can be, and that's something that I think is different from relational sex.
Yeah. Is that the first time, Zach, that you've seen relational sex used in writing?
That phrase, for sure. But John talks about personal versus impersonal sex.
Uh-huh.
And that's the context that I understand what Chris is talking about.
That's right.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
So, I'm really curious, Chris, for you, what is something that you and your wife have done to play just in the last week? Something that you guys enjoy? Not that you've written in the book, but I want to get to know you as well.
Yeah, you know, my wife and I have several things that we try to do. One of the very practical things we like to do, and we're at a stage with young children, so we like to get outside.
Yeah.
And we know sometimes we'll fly kites on the beach because we live pretty close to a beach.
Nice.
You know, my family loves games, like board games. And we're real big on, like, you know, talking about highlights as we do something together. You know, mm-hmm. What is some of the good stuff that's happening right now? You know, Frisbee. Family
awesome.
Loves Frisbee. I'm still trying to help my wife learn hacky sack. We're working on that. But
okay. I mean, I'm making this face because hacky sack just brings me back to the hippies that are like smoking pot in the park in college, right? Okay. You just keep working on that. You know, my husband tried to teach me how to longboard. And at some point we hit like our 30s and we're like, I think we're done longboarding. I'm pretty sure we phased out of the longboard situation. Oh, I sold my longboard to you, Zach.
Yeah, you did. We still have them.
So he has it.
Yeah.
So well, Abby has it. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So P is for play. And we've talked about play on our podcast. So I think
that's
that our listeners are
ours,
very
yeah.
familiar with play. Let's talk about L.
Yeah. So L, listen for emotion. And here we, you know, we're talking about how to keep relationships bigger than problems. You know, when your relational part of your brain is on, you're actually better at listening for emotions, and you can validate, you can comfort, mm-hmm. and you can learn to return to joy from upset. But when that relational part of the brain's off, you basically listen for problems and you amplify problems. So, yeah, so we're talking about teaching, you know, really teaching people how to listen for emotions, stay connected, keep the relationship bigger than big emotions, pain, or problems.
Okay.
And yeah, it just takes a little practice, but yeah. Once it starts, I mean, you know, just listening like, wow, you sound really upset right now. What do you need when you feel this way?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like that. I think that that's part of active listening and just trying to understand what your partner and validating their emotions and just helping them know that you're listening to them and not listening to the problem. Do you have any tips
it's like
for somebody?
It's like I mean, one way that I think we talk about it, Laura, is the difference between what they say and how they say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, mm-hmm. And I think that's what you're talking about, Chris, listening for emotion is how did they say that thing that they just said?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, and the fruit of it is, you know, people feel understood, which helps your brain process upset anyway. The moment I feel like you're with me,
right.
I suddenly everything becomes more manageable because I'm not alone.
Yes.
You know, it's when I feel alone that creates the toughest conditions for the brain to process upset. So,
yeah.
You know, listen for emotions really just helping couples stay connected while they quiet these big emotions that come up.
Mm. But even so, I mean, oftentimes people will say, when I come home and my partner starts to complain about tough stuff, I'm listening and I'm helping them to solve their problem. And that I'm helping them to feel like they're not alone because I'm going to help solve their problem for them. But what you're saying is that's not actually helpful in creating joy. It helps the person feel more alone with their emotions.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean, just validating before, you know, if you validate your partner before you try to fix or any, you know, anything you validate, then they feel connected with you. Now let's talk about what's helpful from here.
Okay.
But a lot of the time we skip the step and we just go into like fix it mode or minimizing mode.
Yes. Yeah.
That's not good.
Okay. I have clients. We talk about our clients quite often in very ambiguous terms because we don't want to cross any boundaries. But if I'm somebody who doesn't know how to validate an emotion, like maybe my partner is experiencing frustration or anger or a big scary emotion that I generally like to run away from. How could I validate their emotion? What would I say?
Yeah. So part of what we do is just help people, you know, listen, you know, what is it, what is that person, what's it like to be in their shoes? So it's like, I hear you say you've had a really bad day.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, what would be helpful right now?
Okay.
You know, and so helping them, and it does take a little practice because if, you know, your brain, if people have done this to you with validation and comfort, then you'll do it with them. But if it hasn't been done, mm-hmm. it feels like you're speaking another language, right? Because the brain will want to try to solve the problem.
Yeah.
So I would just have them practice, okay, what did you hear, you know, in your spouse? What did you hear your spouse say? And,
yeah.
and what would be a helpful response?
Mm.
But yeah, if it's not my experience, then my brain will shift into problem-solving mode and just want to fix it.
Right. Mm. Yeah. You got to steer clear of problem-solving.
Yeah, that's right.
Cool.
Okay, so we're looking to minimize the joy gap, so a gap of joy in marriages. We're looking to minimize it. We've done P is play, L is listening for emotion. What is A?
Yeah, so A is appreciate daily. So this is the third habit. And, you know, we call it appreciation package joy, right? So joy is like what your brain thrives on. Mm-hmm. And appreciation is simply activating those files by remembering the good stuff, remembering those moments, those interactions, those faces,
mm-hmm.
you know, those responses. And so what happens is when you think about those moments, your brain responds as though you're reliving the moment all over again.
Cool.
So it's like, it's packaged mm-hmm. joy. You can take it with you anywhere you go, especially on those hard days. If you can spend 2 to 3 minutes thinking about appreciation, you'll find that the relational centers in your brain will actually come online, and you'll have, suddenly you have more relational bandwidth and resources to navigate your day and your relationships.
That's interesting. I call this the, it's like the bus trip scenario. Imagine that you are on a really long, stuffy bus ride and you're smushed up against the window next to somebody who's spilling over the chair and is really stinky and there's a crying baby. Like, what do you do in that moment to have joy? And I love that you're like, you could take this anywhere. You could just activate your brain to remember your slideshow of
yes.
happy faces and wonderful moments that activate joy in your brain.
That's right. And you know, it could be very practical. And your brain, if you do this enough where it becomes a habit, your brain will start to scan your environment for things to enjoy instead of things to criticize, right? You'll scan it for the good stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what we're after right there.
You bet. We know that research quite well of looking for the positives and scanning your environment for the positives.
That's it.
Very yes. cool.
Okay, let's see here. So play, listening for emotion, appreciation. What's the N? This is the one that I wasn't as familiar with, so I'm curious about this.
Yeah, so N is nurture rhythm. And so just like playing together is important and appreciation is important and listening for emotions is important. And comes down to how well I rest and how well I can quiet myself. So that's kind of like charging your phone battery, right? Like every now and then that battery gets low and you have to plug it in. So rest is really, you know, just catching your breath, taking a moment to quiet, which is one of the greatest predictors of lifelong mental health is have I learned to quiet myself?
Mm-hmm.
So what quieting does is it basically gives me the freedom and the bandwidth to build some joy, and then joy should always lead to quiet. So joy is high energy, quiet's low energy. So you've got this dopamine, serotonin going on here, right? And so quieting is basically on-demand release of serotonin. Like I can just, I can catch my breath.
Mm.
It's a weird concept. It seems really counterintuitive to have to take a break from joy.
Totally.
Right?
It does. It does. But what it does is it strengthens my capacity for more joy. But if I pull out the quieting element from the equation, then I get burned out pretty fast. I get overwhelmed pretty quickly. Because you can only build so much joy before you have to disconnect and catch your breath. So
or before you become really off-putting to other people.
Yeah, you're going to overwhelm the people around you real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You're talking to two people who are like, we're introverts. So you probably can't tell because I'm pretty chatty, but I put it all out there. And then the moment I'm done with this, I'm going to go hide in a deep, dark corner and just, mm-hmm. you know,
disconnect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can relate to that. Yeah.
Yeah. I like this, that you're giving permission to take a break from joy so that I can build more joy in the future.
That's it. So I can go back to my room and pull my blanket over my head and be done with this whole scenario.
Right.
Where can people go to learn more about you and your book?
So happyhappymarriage.org is our website. And there's lots of, you know, there's the book, information about the book. We actually have some curriculum for couples. They can go through a curriculum together. And basically what makes this fun is the books, it's a fun read, but we actually have 15-minute exercises woven throughout this book on these four habits. Because ultimately, that's what we want people to do is, you know what, your logical brain will love the information, but your emotional, relational brain really needs the practice and the experience. Mm. So our hope is that couples will actually do the exercises because that's where the joy and the magic's really going to happen for couples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I love that you're talking.
Happymarriage.org.
Yeah. Right? Happymarriage.org. And the title of the book is The Four Habits of Joy-Filled Marriages. And then the subtitle is How 15 Minutes a Day Will Help You Stay in Love. And when I saw this book, I thought, oh, this is going to be such a good fit for us because one, it's about science. It's about research. It's about giving the practical tools in the hands of couples so that you're not just taking in information, but you're actually putting it to practice, which we're really big at. We don't want people to be passive observers or passive in taking in information. We actually want them to do something about it. And so you have these actual practical tools that they can start practicing in the comfort of their own home so that they can begin to close that joy gap in their relationship.
That's right.
It's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to say thank you so much for coming on. And do you have a personal website if people are interested in knowing more about you and your wife and what you're up to?
Yes. It's thrivetoday.org. Thrivetoday.org.
It's a beautiful website, by the way. I don't know if you paid somebody to make it for you.
You know, one of our friends actually put this together for us. Yeah.
Quality job. Well done. Well, thanks for coming on to our podcast and being our very first interview.
Ever guest, yeah. I'm honored. This was a blast. I believe in what you guys are doing. This is awesome.
Very cool. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Chris Corsi, for joining with us.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye.
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 Thanks so much for joining us for this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. Just as a reminder, on June 8th and 9th, Zach and I will be up in Seattle, Washington, and we're going to be hosting a marriage retreat. It's a two-day experience where you gather with your partner and you really are working on building your communication skills, deepening your intimacy, and learning conflict management blueprints. It's called the 7 Principles for Making Marriage Work. It's actually a program that I had the chance to co-develop with the Gottman Institute over 5 years ago, and I have been the master trainer for. So it's a real treat for me to be able to work with couples. Usually I'm just training other therapists on this. And of course, it's a real treat to be in the same room as Zach. That might be a bit of a stretch, but we're really looking forward to it. We cut our registration off at 25 couples. So if you have just the slight inkling that this would be something that you would enjoy, I encourage you to register now, register early, because we are cutting registration off at 25 couples. Hop on to marriagetherapyradio.com and click on the link that says workshops. Register for our June 8th and 9th marriage retreat. It's the last one happening until the fall. See you then. Thank you so much for all the time and energy that you're putting in your relationship, making it better today than it was yesterday.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone.
As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.